trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. We find that in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Our Father's involvement in every moment in history reveals his faithfulness, justice, and mercy. The events of the 10th month, today marks the 18th day, just happens to be this year, where January perfectly aligns with the 10th month in the Hebrew calendar. Today marks the 18th day of the 10th month on a sacred calendar. Illustrate how he works to bring renewal, discipline, and restoration to his people. From the renewal after the flood to Esther thrice as queen, his purpose unfolds with precision and care. Or actually, it's his purposes. It's a plural. That's a better term to be used. His actions call us to trust him fully, to respond to his guidance, and align ourselves with his will. And we heard that already in the sermonette. I could be sitting down, and it's all done. These lessons challenge us to walk in faith, knowing he works all things for the good of us, even if he sometimes cannot see that. Join me in asking this specific purpose question. How can we, as children and saints of the Most High, trust our Father's guidance and respond faithfully to his plans for renewal and restoration? Again, how can we, as children and saints of the Most High, trust our Father's guidance and respond faithfully to his plans for renewal and restoration? Let us explore this question in the remaining minutes of this message. The title of today's message is Trusting Our Father, Timeless Lessons of Renewal and Restoration. Trusting Our Father, Timeless Lessons of Renewal and Restoration. Our Father's hand is evident in every moment of history, even if you cannot see that, weaving his purposes with precision and care. His faithfulness calls us to trust him fully as we witness how he renews, disciplines, and restores his people. The first of seven facets I would like to briefly look at is looking at seven events during the 10th month. And starting with chronological order, the waters recede. Renewal after judgment. And what I'm referring to is an event that occurred, according to Hebrew estimation, in 2348 before the current era. You know, if you go by the Bible Hub timeline, it's sometimes, you know, around that time. But it seems like Jews have a very particular date nailed down, a year, 2348 before the current era. The receding flood waters marked the beginning of renewal after our Father's judgment upon the earth. On this day, or I should say on the first day, corresponding to January 1st this year, 17 days ago in history, the tops of the mountains became visible, signaling hope and restoration for Noah and his family. Can you imagine? Here you are floating across, you know, for a long time, and now you finally see the top of the mountains. And I pointed that out as I was working on this message on the 1st of January. Can you imagine putting yourselves in the shoes of those eight passengers? Genesis 8, verse 5. This pivotal moment demonstrated our Father's faithfulness to his promises and his power to bring life after judgment. It assures us that he has plans for renewal for those who trust him and walk in his ways. That should be very encouraging and also a warning to each one of us. Through patient endurance and reliance on him, we too can experience restoration and new beginnings. Genesis 8, verse 5. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version throughout this message. The waters continued to abate until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. The appearance of the mountains was a visible sign of our Father's promise to restore the earth after judgment. We might not be able to relate to that as Minnesotans. You know, what do you mean mountains? You know, but anybody has spent some time in Colorado or in wonderful Swiss Alps know what I'm talking about. This moment teaches us that even in the aftermath of trials, He is faithful to bring renewal. Let's turn to Isaiah 43, verse 19. Isaiah 43, verse 19. Trusting Him allows us to see hope even when the process seems long. Doesn't it oftentimes feel that like? You know, we have some people who had some surgery, and the process of recovery is quite extensive. It feels long, especially if pain is involved. It feels even longer. He is always at work fulfilling His promises in His perfect time. Nothing is random. Renewal is a testament of His mercy and steadfast care. Isaiah 43, verse 19. Isaiah 43, verse 19. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. No, referring to a future glorious event. The new life emerging after the flood reflects this promise of our Father's ability to create paths of renewal. It's not just in view, obviously, of the new age to come, but even now. He transforms desolation into beauty, bringing life where there was none. You know, sometimes it's incredible what a little water can do. You know, if you go to Israel, you can see those who have figured it out and those who haven't. You know, Lamentations 3, verse 22. Lamentations 3, verse 22. Trusting Him allows us to perceive His hand even in the wilderness. You know, it's that wilderness rose. You know, oftentimes we refer to it during the feast. What a sight if everything else seems to be very dry and bleak. He plans for us always lead to hope and restoration. Sorry if you're expecting a fire and brimstone sermon. That's the wrong sermon for you. Renewal is not limited by circumstances, but flows from His unchanging faithfulness. It's all about Him and His faithfulness. It's His very essence. Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23. Lamentations 3, verse 22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. You know, if you get up, when we get up in the morning, do we feel like we have this fresh start, in essence? After all, we woke up. You know, that's a good start to begin with. Our Father's daily mercies are a source of constant renewal for us. Let's treat it that way. The receding waters remind us of His faithfulness and His unceasing care. Let's turn to Psalm 40, verse 1. Psalm 40, verse 1. Trusting Him ensures that we walk confidently in the knowledge of His steadfast love. Every day is an opportunity to experience His mercy and restoration. Especially if one had a rough night or couldn't sleep or went through things, but that next morning comes, it's a fresh start. Renewal in His promise is His promise to those who trust in Him. Psalm 40, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. Also, if you spend some time in the Alps or in any mountain, you know, it's good to have each step secure. I lost an aunt that didn't have her steps secured. Noah's patient waiting during the flood mirrors the assurance found here. Our Father lifts us from difficult circumstances and establishes us on a firm foundation. Philippians 1, verse 6. Trusting Him ensures that we are sustained through trials and led to safety. His faithfulness sets our steps and strengthens our journey. And again, especially relevant for those who have just gone through surgery, who experienced that. Philippians 1, verse 6. I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. The renewal after the flood reflects our Father's commitment to completing the work he began in us. Trusting him allows us to walk in faith, knowing he fulfills his promises in his perfect timing. Renewal is the outcome of his continued work in us, preparing us for his purposes. We have a marvelous future ahead. We are being prepared right now. Let's never forget that. His faithfulness assures us that he finishes what he starts. I'm so glad he did, huh? We wouldn't have mankind if he didn't finish, what he started. We wouldn't have the Sabbath, that special relationship with him if he would have never finished what he started. But especially on that sixth day, mankind. We're the very embodiment and the living proof right here in a spiritual way. Know that he will finish of what he starts. Only us can turn our back to him put a ding in that process. Restoration is always his ultimate goal for each one of us. As the flood waters receded, our Father's faithfulness to renew the earth became evident. But humanity's tendency to stray from him would again bring consequences, as we heard in the sermonette. The siege of Jerusalem reminds us that his justice addresses rebellion, yet his ultimate purpose is always restoration. The second facet I would like to briefly touch on is the siege of Jerusalem, a call to repentance. That was a year before it fell, that Jerusalem fell. That was in 588, before the Common Era. Give a year or two. I wasn't there. Kind of vouched for it. The siege of Jerusalem was a direct consequence of Judah's rebellion, or the people of Judah's rebellion against our Father. It revealed the seriousness of sin and the necessity of turning back to him in humility and repentance. 2 Kings 25, verse 1. 2 Kings 25, verse 1. While his justice required discipline, his purpose was always restoration for his people. And I think that's a good reminder for us parents or managers or whatever role we play in society. This event reminds us that his actions, even when difficult, are rooted in love and aimed at refining us, not to beat us down. It's a refinement process. Trusting him during times of correction allows us to experience his mercy and realignment with his will. It's not a free-for-all, as we understand. 2 Kings 25, verse 1. 2 Kings 25, verse 1. In the ninth year of his reign, in the 10th month, on the 10th day of the month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came with all his army against Jerusalem and laid siege to it. They showed how serious they are. Actually, if you continue reading, they started building siege works to let the people know, we're going to be here for a while. 8 days ago in history, the siege began as a fulfillment of our Father's warning, calling his people to repentance. It serves as a reminder of the consequences of turning away from him. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Trusting him in times of correction ensures that we are drawn back to him in humility. His justice is always paired with his desire for restoration. Repentance opens the door to his mercy and renewal. And it's also a gift from him. Repentance. True repentance. Lasting repentance. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. Even in judgment, our Father's plans for his people are rooted in hope and restoration. His discipline is never meant to harm, but to refine and prepare us for a better future. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Trusting him allows us to look beyond trials to the hope he promises. Not just kind of wishful thinking or stuff that we wish for that is not substantiated. No, he is very clear in the scriptures of what those promises are. His plans always lead to life and renewal for those who turn to him. That's why it's such a beautiful Hebrew greeting, L'chaim, to life. New toast, everything is to life, absolutely. Our Father is all about life. And we understand, and I digress, even in death, it's only temporary, as we understand. Because it is all about life, let's never forget that. His faithfulness assures us of a hopeful outcome. Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The siege of Jerusalem was an opportunity for the people of Judah to turn back to our Father and receive his compassion. That's why nothing gets done hastily. They were there for a year, you know, for people to change their mind, their attitudes, come to repentance and change their ways. Our Father is never hasty. He's never quick to punish. Returning to him brings forgiveness and renewal for those who humble themselves. Hebrews 12, verse 6. Trusting him ensures that we experience his abundant mercy and pardon. His justice always includes an invitation to restoration. Repentance leads to his overwhelming grace. Hebrews 12, verse 6. The Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. The discipline of the people of Judah experienced was a reflection of our Father's deep love for his people, because he cares. We oftentimes tend to speak about that, maybe around dinner tables and so. Who is always coming up? You know, sometimes those who most likely that you that you care deeply about it, or you're trying to figure something out. Correction is always designed to refine and restore us to righteousness. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. Trusting him allows us to grow through discipline, becoming aligned with his will. His love ensures that his discipline is always for our good. Restoration follows his refining work in our lives. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Even in judgment, our Father's heart is for repentance and life. His desire is always to save and restore, not to destroy. Trusting him ensures that we experience the fullness of his grace and mercy. It's that undeserved love that you extend to us. But of course, we have to respond to it, as we have heard in the sermonette. Turning back to him brings life and renews us. His justice is always paired with his desire for life and restoration. The siege of Jerusalem marked a time of judgment, calling the people to repentance. This period of mourning, commemorated in the fast of the 10th month, highlights how turning back to him opens the door to joy and restoration. The fast of the 10th month, mourning transformed into joy, also originated on that same year, 588. Mourning transformed into joy. The fast of the 10th month was a time of mourning instituted to reflect on the beginning of the siege of Jerusalem. Oftentimes the focus, unfortunately, was, even to this day, for those who observe that fast, it's on the mourning part of what went wrong, you know, mourning the event instead of what led to the event. It was a solemn reminder of the consequences of rebellion against our Father and a call to repentance. Let's turn to Zechariah 8, verse 19. Zechariah 8, verse 19. However, through his promises, the fast became a symbol of transformation. Or will become, I should say, a symbol of transformation. Mourning will turn into joy. They experienced that in minor ways during their lifetime, but we know that the ultimate fulfillment is ahead of us. The shift demonstrates that our Father's ultimate desire is not sorrow, but restoration and rejoicing. Trusting him through times of mourning leads us to experience the joy of renewal he has promised. Zechariah 8, verse 19. Zechariah 8, verse 19. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fifth, the seventh, and the tenth shall be to the house of Judah seasons of joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. This declaration reveals our Father's desire to transform seasons of sorrow into times of celebration. Mourning over sin leads to repentance, not mourning over something bad happens. That's a wrong way of also fasting. Oh, something bad happened in my life, I need to fast, or I need to... No, it's a matter of mourning over sin leads to repentance, which then brings joy through his restoration. Psalm 30, verse 11. Psalm 30, verse 11. Trusting him ensures that our sorrow is never the end, but the beginning of renewal. His call to love, truth, and peace reflects his purpose for us to live in alignment with him. When we fast, when we study scripture, and we pray, we calibrate ourselves to him, not him to our will. We calibrate ourselves to him, to be in perfect alignment with him. Joy flows from his mercy and faithfulness. Psalm 30, verse 11. You have turned for me my mournings into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. Again, that's kind of looking ahead, what we celebrate in the fall. This transformation mirrors the shift from fasting to rejoicing, as seen in the 10th month. Our Father brings joy to us, replacing sorrow with gladness. Isaiah 61, verse 3. Trusting Him ensures that we experience the fullness of His promises, even after times of mourning. His restoration brings lasting joy that overflows with praise. You know, how is joy properly expressed? In praising our Father and Jesus Christ to His right hand. Mourning is always temporary in the light of His faithfulness. Isaiah 61, verse 3. To grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. This promise reflects our Father's redemptive power to bring beauty from ashes and joy from sorrow. Trusting Him allows us to walk in the assurance that mourning leads to transformation and renewal. Joel 2, verse 12. His purpose is always to replace despair with hope and gladness. Restoration prepares us to live in praise and joy. His plans for His people bring lasting peace and fulfillment. Joel 2, verse 12. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Fasting and mourning are calls to deep repentance leading to restoration. Our Father desires heartfelt change, not merely outward expressions of sorrow. Poor thing me. No. Revelation 21, verse 4. Trusting Him ensures that we experience His mercy and transformation through genuine repentance. Not just some crocodile or fake tears. His invitation to return is always met with compassion and renewal. Mourning opens the door to His abundant pardon. Revelation 21, verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. This ultimate promise reflects the culmination of our Father's work to transform mourning into eternal joy. Trusting Him ensures that we look forward to the fulfillment of His promises with hope and confidence. Every season of sorrow will give way to everlasting gladness in His presence. And when He eventually, as part of the new heaven and new earth, will make His dwelling with mankind. Mourning is temporary. Joy in Him is eternal, or I should say everlasting. His faithfulness assures us of a future free from pain and filled with peace. The transformation of mourning into joy reflects our Father's desire to restore His people, but purification is often necessary for renewal. Ezekiel's vision of the cooking pot reveals how His discipline refines and prepares hearts for greater alignment with His will. The next facet I would like to briefly touch on is Ezekiel's cooking pot vision, purifi- purification through justice, also given in 588. Plus minus one. The vision of the cooking pot given to Ezekiel on the same day the siege began symbolized the corruption within Jerusalem. Our Father's justice required purification to remove the impurities that had defiled his people. Tying it back to the sermonette, it's not like kind of wishing those impurities away. We just turn our mind and just, oh, let's forget about that. No. It's to remove the impurities that had defiled his people. And we only know that because of his way, understanding his law, his modus operandi, his guidance, his very essence. Ezekiel 24, verse 6. Ezekiel 24, verse 6. While the judgment was severe, they destroyed, obviously, Jerusalem and took the king prisoner. It was designed to cleanse and restore, not to destroy. This teaches us that his discipline is not punitive, but redemptive, preparing us for greater alignment to his will and for our ultimate calling, obviously, our role that we will inherit in the future. Trusting him during times of correction allows us to grow in righteousness and experience his restoration. Ezekiel 24, verse 6. Ezekiel 24, verse 6. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, woe to the bloody city, to the pot whose corrosion is in it and whose corrosion has not gone out of it. Take out of it piece after piece without making any choice. No, get rid of it. Purify it. The pot represented the deep-seated corruption within Jerusalem that required thorough cleansing. Our Father's justice removes impurities to prepare his people for holiness. Isaiah 1, verse 25. Occasionally we see that in the Church of God community. Isaiah 1, verse 25. Trusting him ensures that we embrace his refining work, knowing it leads to restoration. His discipline is an act of love, removing what separates us from him. Purification is necessary for his people to walk in righteousness that applies to us. Isaiah 1, verse 25. Isaiah 1, verse 25. I will turn my hand against you and will smelt away your dross as with lye and remove all your alloy. This reflects our Father's intention to refine his people, removing everything that hinders our relationship with him. Trusting him ensures that we submit to his cleansing work, knowing it prepares us for his purposes. Malachi 3, verse 3. Malachi 3, verse 3. His refining process removes impurities, making us vessels fit for his glory. Restoration follows the removal of what is unholy. His discipline prepares us for a deeper relationship with him. Malachi 3, verse 3. Malachi 3, verse 3. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Our Father's refining work prepares us to worship him in righteousness and truth. Trusting him ensures that we emerge from discipline as purified vessels for his purposes. Psalm 51, verse 10. Psalm 51, verse 10. His process of refining removes everything that hinders us from aligning with his will. Purity leads to a life of worship and service. His refining fire is always for all our ultimate good and his glory. Psalms 51 verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. It's David speaking, and we oftentimes read that as we prepare for Passover or on the way to Passover. Ezekiel's vision is a call to seek personal cleansing and renewal. Trusting our Father ensures that he creates in us a clean heart or clean hearts as a group, preparing us for his purposes. Now, if you look at it as the body of Christ. Hebrews 12, 11. His discipline leads to transformation and restoration in us. A pure heart aligns with his will and brings us closer to him, because we get rid of all these barriers and filters that separate us or keep him at the distance. It's our filters, it's not his filters. It's our doing, our thinking, our attitudes. A pure heart aligns with his will and brings us closer to him again. His faithfulness renews and strengthens us daily. Hebrews 12, verses 11. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Discipline, though challenging, produces the fruit of righteousness in those who embrace it. Trusting our Father ensures that we grow through correction, becoming more aligned with his will. His justice refines and prepares us for holiness and peace. Restoration is always the goal of his discipline. His love sustains us through every season of purification. The purification of Jerusalem through discipline demonstrates our Father's commitment to removing corruption, paving the way for holiness. His judgment against Egypt serves as a further reminder of his authority to humble the proud and align all nations under his sovereignty. The next facet I'd like to briefly touch on is prophecy against Egypt. Our Father humbles the proud. Our Father humbles the proud. Given 2 years later in 586 before the Common Era. The prophecy against Egypt highlights our Father's authority over all nations and his power to humble the proud. Pharaoh's arrogance in claiming ownership over the Nile reflected his rejection of the true source of life and provision. Ezekiel 29, verse 3. Our Father declared judgment on Egypt to reveal that no earthly power can stand against his sovereignty. This lesson reminds us of the futility of pride and self-reliance, calling us to walk in humility and depend entirely on him. Trusting him ensures that we align with his purposes and avoid the pitfalls of human arrogance. Ezekiel 29, verse 3. Speak and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon that lies in the midst of his stream that says, my Nile is my own, I made it for myself. Because he was the Nile god, claimed that. Pharaoh's claim of ownership over the Nile revealed his pride and rejection of our Father's sovereignty, the one true God. This proclamation of judgment serves as a warning against arrogance and self-reliance. Proverbs 16, verse 18. trusting him ensures that we acknowledge him as the source of all blessings and provision. His justice humbles the proud, reminding us that everything belongs to him. True security and strength comes from reliance on him alone. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Egypt's downfall illustrates the truth that pride leads to ruin. Our Father opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Isaiah 2, verse 12. Isaiah 2, verse 12. Trusting him ensures that we walk humbly, recognizing our complete dependence on him. Arrogance blinds us to our need for him, but humility opens the door to his grace and restoration. His justice reveals the dangers of pride and the blessings of humility. Isaiah 2, verse 12. Isaiah 2, verse 12. For the Lord of hosts has a day against all that is proud and lofty, against all that is lifted up, and it shall be brought low. The judgment against Egypt reflects our Father's authority over human pride and arrogance. No nation or individual can exalt themselves above his sovereignty. Psalm 20, verse 7. Psalm 20, verse 7. Trusting him allows us to walk in humility, avoiding the downfall that pride brings. His justice humbles the proud, ensuring that only he is glorified. He calls us to honor him as the source of all power and authority. Psalm 20, verse 7. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. It's not the aircraft carriers we have or the airplanes or this or that. No, it is. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. Egypt's reliance on its wealth and military strength failed in the face of our Father's judgment. No match for him, obviously. This lesson reminds us that true strength and security comes only from trusting him. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Earthly resources are temporary and unreliable, but his provision is eternal. Trusting him ensures that we build our lives on a foundation that cannot be shaken. His sovereignty is the source of lasting peace and stability. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Pharaoh's refusal to humble himself resulted in Egypt's downfall, demonstrating the consequences of pride. Our Father calls us to willingly choose humility, trusting that he will lift us up in his timing. Trusting him ensures that we depend on his guidance and resist the temptation to exalt ourselves. Humility aligns us with his purposes and opens the way for his blessings. His mighty hand sustains and exalts those who trust him. The fall of Egypt showcased the futility of pride and self-reliance, setting the stage for a similar lesson in Tyre's downfall. And those prophecies were all given in that 10th month of any given year. We talked about Tyre's misplaced trust in wealth and power reinforces the truth that lasting security comes only through dependence on our Father. Prophecy against Tyre. The futility of worldly success. The futility of worldly success. Also in 586, before the Common Era. The prophecy against Tyre reveals the limitations of worldly wealth and power when measured against our father's authority. Tyre's pride in its economic success and strategic position led to arrogance and a false sense of security. Ezekiel 26, verse 3. Our father declared judgment on Tyre to demonstrate that no amount of material wealth can shield a nation from our father's justice. This lesson calls us to reject reliance on fleeting achievements and instead place our trust in him. True success is found not in earthly riches, but in walking in alignment with his will. Ezekiel 26, verse 3. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and will bring up many nations against you, as the sea brings up its waves. Tyre's reliance on its wealth and position could not protect it from judgment. This event serves as a reminder of the futility of worldly success without dependence on our Father, because everything comes from him. He owns everything. We are the best stewards of what he gives to us. As soon as we think we own something or it's mine, start building hedges and fences. Proverbs 11, verse 28. Trust in him ensures that we build our lives on a foundation that cannot be destroyed. His justice humbles the proud and dismantles false security. Whatever attempts there might be, building this or that to keep him or her out, it's false security. Wealth and power are fleeting, but his authority is eternal. Proverbs 11, verse 28. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. Tyre's downfall illustrates the consequences of placing trust in material wealth. Our Father calls us to seek righteousness, which leads to lasting prosperity and peace. Not that all-encompassing peace. The English word doesn't do it justice. You know, it's a wholesomeness, a well-being. It's that sense of rest. James 4, verse 6. Trusting him ensures that we focus on eternal treasures rather than temporary gains. Wealth without dependence on him leads to ruin, but his blessings sustain those who walk in righteousness. Instead of thinking of how we're going to spend our monies because we have excess budget, no, we should focus on walking in his righteousness. His justice reveals the emptiness of worldly riches apart from him. James 4, verse 6. He gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Tyre's arrogance invited judgment. They were begging for it, literally. While humility invites our Father's grace. His justice humbles those who exalt themselves, while his mercy lifts those who walk in humility. Isaiah 2, verse 17. Trusting him ensures that you live with hearts aligned to his will, avoiding the traps of pride. His grace is abundance for those who acknowledge their need for him, their dependence on him. Humility is the pathway to his blessings and favor. And part of that humility, as we heard just a couple of weeks ago, is that proper form of submission. That's how we emphasize, that's how we express our humility. Proper form of submission. Isaiah 2 verse 17, the haughtiness of man shall be humbled, and the lofty pride of man shall be brought low, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. Tyre's fall reflects our Father's authority to bring down human pride. People can be pride about this, about that. It all will come to nothing. He alone is worthy of exaltation. And all human achievements pale in comparison to his glory. It's pretty funny, actually, if you look at those who went to the... I digress, get in trouble with the clock. But if you look at those who got bronze medals in Paris, they feel like, from what century is that medal? Because it's already decaying and corroding and whatever. It's not lasting. Of course, the fame lasts. But even the little trophy or whatever didn't last. Matthew 6, verse 19. Trusting him ensures that we give him the honor he deserves, living in humility and reverence. His justice reminds us that pride leads to destruction, but honoring him brings life. Only he is exalted above all things. Matthew 6, verse 19 and 20. Matthew 6, 19 and 20. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Tyre's pursuit of earthly wealth proved futile. Now, who even remembers them today if we don't bring it up in a sermon? As material riches could not save it from destruction. Our Father calls us to seek treasures that are eternal and aligned with his kingdom. Trusting him ensures that we prioritize his will over fleeting worldly success. True wealth is found in a life devoted to him and his purposes. His justice reveals the emptiness of earthly treasures apart from him. Tyre's judgment revealed the fragility of worldly success, shifting focus on the sovereign placement of Esther as queen. That's also what happens this month. Very positive example. We need to end on a very positive note, don't we? Her rise demonstrates our Father's care in positioning, one could even say, even though I shy away from using those terms, our Father's providential care in positioning his people for his purposes, even amid uncertainty. The last and final facet I would like to touch on briefly is Esther's placement as queen, position for our Father's purpose. It's oftentimes when you find ourselves in a certain situation because we don't see it yet. You know how God prepares us and positions us in certain places, as difficult as it seems, but there's rhyme and reason. And that happened in 478 before the Common Era, 478. Esther's rise to queenship during the 10th month is a testament of our Father's sovereignty in positioning us for his purposes. Though Esther entered the palace with uncertainty, now the circumstances, those who are familiar with the story, it's quite interesting. Especially from her perspective, you know, it must have been tough. Her placement as queen prepared her to intercede for her people at the critical moment, to stand in the breach. Esther 2, verse 16. This account reveals how our Father orchestrates events to fulfill his plans, even when the path seems unclear. It encourages us to trust in him in all circumstances, knowing he prepares and equips equips us for the roles he has designed for us. Walking in faith and courage, we can embrace his purposes, confident in his guidance. Esther 2, verse 16. When Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus into his royal palace in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign, Esther's placement in the palace was not by chance. I don't believe in time and chance a bit. Was not by chance, but by our Father's design. Our Father positioned her for a specific purpose that would later save her people. Jeremiah 1, verse 5. Trusting him ensures that we recognize his hand in the opportunities he provides, even when we do not see, or yet see, I should say, their full significance. Because oftentimes we are just too close to it. He prepares us for the roles he calls us to fulfill. Esther's story reminds us that every moment in our lives can be part of our Father's greater plan. Jeremiah 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Just as Esther was prepared for a unique calling, but this verse specifically obviously referring to Jeremiah himself and his role and his preparation and where he was placed, our Father has plans for each of us. We are not also rants, or he's going to figure something out with us. That's not our Father. He created us for a purpose, and he will stick to the plan. We can do it the hard way or the easier way. He equips and positions us for his purposes long before we understand their scope. Romans 8, verse 28, that's why we cannot poo-poo when someone is put in a role or knows. Like Joseph, he knew, he upset his brothers when he had certain vision of what he's going to do. Most people cannot handle that. They say, just do it, show it to me. Careful what you share with people. Romans 8, 28. Trusting him allows us to embrace the paths he has set before us, confident in his preparation and care. He plans for us his plans for us are intentional and designed for his glory. Esther's life reflects his providence in every detail. Romans 8, verse 28. If you take one scripture from this message, that's Romans 8:28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Esther's journey to queenship demonstrates how our Father weaves all circumstances together for the good of his people. Even in uncertain and challenging times and situations, his hand is at work bringing his purposes to fruition. Proverbs 16, verse 9. Trusting him ensures that we rest in the assurance that nothing in our lives is wasted. We keep treated as such, but from God's perspective, we better don't. His plans are always for our good and his glory. Esther's example encourages us to see his provisions in every aspect of our journey. And we are on a journey. Proverbs 16, verse 9. The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. You consult with your younger self, you'll probably be surprised how life has progressed in different ways. But it's good to plan and dream. It's very important. Esther's rise to prominence was guided not by our own plans, but by our Father's sovereign direction. He establishes the steps for us that they are placed when they can fulfill his purposes. Ephesians 2, verse 10. Trusting him allows us to surrender our own plans and align with his will, knowing that his guidance is perfect. Esther's story shows that his hand leads us even when we cannot see the full picture, because we are just too close oftentimes. His direction is always for his glory and our benefit. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Esther's role as queen was a fulfillment of the good works our father had prepared for her long before her time in the palace. He equips us to walk in the purposes he has designed for us, ensuring that they are ready to fulfill his calling, these purposes. Trusting him allows us to recognize and embrace the opportunities he provides to serve him. Esther's example inspires us to step forward in faith, knowing he has prepared us for his work. His workmanship in us reflects his glory and purpose. The lessons of the 10th month remind us that our Father's sovereignty, justice, and love guide all things. He has no some kind of a hidden agenda. He's very clear in his word. He humbles the proud, restores the repentant, and prepares us for his purposes. As we reflect on these truths, let us consider how we can live in alignment with him and walk in faith and humility. Let us recap in a form of 7 key takeaways for us. The first key takeaway is renewal comes when we trust our Father's faithfulness during trials. I wish it was just one trial we have to go through in life. No, renewal comes when we trust our Father's faithfulness during trials. 2, his discipline is an act of love designed to restore and refine us. Again, his discipline is an act of love designed to restore and refine us. 3, repentance transforms sorrow into joy. Repentance transforms sorrow into joy. 4, purification prepares us for greater fellowship with him and his purposes, but to an extent also amongst each other as his people. Purification prepares us for greater fellowship with him and his people, and of course Jesus Christ and his purposes. 5, pride leads to destruction while humility invites his grace. Pride leads to destruction while humility invites his grace. Worldly success, 6. Worldly success is fleeting without dependence on him. Again, worldly success is fleeting without dependence on him. And 7, his plans position us for his glory and the good of others. His plans position us for his glory and the good of others. We find the last scriptural passage of this message, and we already turned there earlier today, Romans 8, verse 28, where we will conclude. Let us trust in our Father's sovereignty and walk humbly with him, acknowledging his hand in every circumstance. As we reflect on the lessons of the 10th month, may we repent where needed and appropriate, and more than we think. Embrace his discipline and enjoy and rejoice in his restoration. He equips us for his purposes, calling us to align our lives with his will. Let us seek his guidance daily, trusting that he works all things for for the good of us. Through every trial and triumph, may we remain faithful to him. Let's conclude in Romans 8, verse 28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose.